Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Let's close our eyes for prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you very much for bringing us to this point. Thank you, Lord, because you started with us, and here we are at the end of the Congress. You're finishing with us. But this end is a new beginning. Your people are going out with vision. We're going out with power. We're going out with wisdom. We're going out with all the things you've dropped in our hearts here. Oh Lord, we pray the effect, the power of all that we have learned will never get away from us in Jesus' name. We're praying, Lord, victory, triumph, success. You'll give to every one of your children and servants in Jesus' name. We'll go in the power of the Lord, in the strength of the Lord, in the might of your spirit. And Lord, we pray, every wall will fall before your people in Jesus' name. A new anointing, a new power, a new authority, a new strategy you give to all our leaders, that as we go out, oh Lord, we'll be hearing stories of conquering. And this year, for everyone, in every city, in every local government, in every region, in every state, in every nation, this year will be a year of conquest in Jesus' name. The victories we've never seen before, we'll see this year. The success we've never seen before, we'll see this year. And the exploits we've never been able to do, Lord, we will see this year in Jesus' name. Go with your people. Energize your people. Strengthen the knees of your people. When your people pray, you will answer. When you give a command, Lord, heaven will honor that command. I will pray, Lord, there will be no little child, there will be no little small worker, there will be no little new leader. Everyone will be filled to the brim in Jesus' name. You will fill our cups to overflowing. Where your people were afraid before, now they'll be bold. Where they were weak before, they will be strong. And where they were kind of intimidated by the enemy, oh Lord, I pray, we overcome and trample upon every intimidation in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that this year will be a year of fulfillment of the great promises you have given us. And those promises will be yes and amen in our lives, in our families, in our ministries. Confirm it, O Lord. Lord, we pray our interaction this year together will be an interaction of just sharing testimonies we can celebrate. When we talk to one another, when we cheer with one another, here at the headquarters and also all over the states, all over the nations, we'll know that this is a new beginning. Thank you, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the best congregation I had today. You know, today I never had a better congregation. You are just wonderful people. Praise the Lord. And this year, I don't know what will happen yet, but I'm still planning. I've been coming to various states. I'm still planning. It's not through yet. I still need to pray it through. But it's likely, very likely, that instead of me coming to your states, it's likely, very likely, I may be having the National Workers Retreat here at the headquarters. I don't want our workers to be totally ignorant of the headquarters. That They only see me in their states, and then they don't come here. I don't see them here at the headquarters. And everybody once in a while should have the privilege, the opportunity of knowing the headquarters. And so this year, instead of just satellite alone coming to you, and technology separates us, that you say we're hearing the voice already, we're hearing the word already, and that's all we need. No, you need the personal touch. And because of that personal touch, you're going to do whatever it takes. If I can take all the trouble to come to your state, far away states, then you should be able to reciprocate once in a while, not every month, but at least once in a while. There'll be satellite, at the other time, there'll be face to face and life to life, eyeball to eyeball, personal touch. Praise the Lord. And in all the other meetings that have been decentralized, you know, the campus people having their congress there and having their congress there, I'm still planning. I need to get through. It's likely, very likely, most likely, that all those campus congresses, you've had enough chance now to be in your various locations. I might have to bring you campuses. This is a campus too. And then we bring all those campuses once in a while. It's necessary. So that the cassette is not your father. Praise the Lord. And who knows, I'm still planning. Who knows, the youth, we might have to. Yes, I salute your courage, and I salute all that you're doing. It's great. And you're doing great, great things. I can tell. By the way, the brother who spoke on Stephen, sanctified and spirit-filled. Actually, he was, one of our leaders in the DLSO. And when you think about that, that's a youth leader. And if you remember the message on Stephen, how many of you remember? How can you forget? If gray-haired old man remembers, you must remember. And you know that brother that preached on Stephen? That's, he was up until just about 2 months ago. He was, the leader of the youth in Edo State. But now he's a state overseer. Praise the Lord. And if you always remain in your state, in your region, and only the satellite is coming to you, I will not know you. You'll be hearing the message. I'll not be able to know. It's time for you to get higher. But it's when we come here together, and I have all the youth leaders here and all the teachers here, and I interact with you, and there's a personal touch, then I'll be able to know you've spent enough time in this place. Now go to that place. That's why once in a while, the satellite is great, beautiful, and wonderful. And all these cassettes and tapes are great and wonderful. But if we just depend on that alone, it will cut off the personal touch. And a lot of people that God is raising up, we will not know them. That's the reason why, who knows, this year is going to be a wonderful year. And then we have all those youth leaders, not only the youth leaders, not only the, their teachers and their leaders, some of our youth themselves. I want to see some of those children. They ought to know their headquarters. I will be making arrangements and bring them here. And, you know, I'll be talking to, you know, our architect, the, you know, the brother who is helping us with, you know, all these buildings on his behalf and on behalf of the headquarters. I apologize to those of you who couldn't find accommodation and you slept on the benches here. By the time you come next year, you'll not sleep on the bench. We'll do whatever we can do. You are the best and the highest level of leadership in this church. You're a gift to the church. And anytime you come, we're going to make you feel convenient and feel happy. Amen. We will do our best. And whatever money you are sending to Lagos, well, yes, we'll spend a lot of it on the Gbagada project, but this place, so that when you come, you'll see the fruit of your sacrifice. And then the children, praise the Lord for the children. I said, praise the Lord for the children. We have a new dynamic national coordinator of the children, Brother Adeneke. Are you there? Where are you? The Children Church National Coordinator. Is he around at all? Where is he? Everybody standing up, I will not know who the national coordinator is. Where are you? If you are here, can you come and let me see your face? Where is he? Where is he? Run like children. Come, come, come. I wish I had a cameraman to take his face.
Good morning, our fathers and mothers. We love you. And we know you love us. God will continue to use us for us. And we will be faithful children. The legacy of Deeper Life will carry it on. Even after you have gone, we will be faithful to that Deeper Life legacy. Yeah. Thank you and God bless you.
Praise the Lord. This year, who knows? I'm still planning. The children, teachers and leaders, our mothers and fathers who are helping us to take care of these young people, we're likely to bring them here for something national. And then, yes, the satellite will go on every Monday. But some of these central meetings will come together here. And then we'll have a feel of what is going on at the headquarters. We're going to minimize the decentralization. And we're going to maximize the coming together. Pulling everything together so that decentralization will not be a disadvantageous thing in our church. That's the reason why I'm telling you all this. And in Lagos here, some of the things we also decentralized. We're going to, for some time, pull everything together. So that we will know this is a united church. And then our leadership will be known. Not that only, you know, the decentralized unit over there knows their leader. And then the other great, effective, anointed leaders in other parts of the church, we don't know. If we continue forever like that, it's going to bring a great disadvantage. So yes, decentralization where advantageous will continue. But the coming together where it's also advantageous will also happen. Is that all right? Of course it's all right. God will bless you tremendously. Today we're looking at the final message of our Congress. Divine intervention for God's faithful people. Divine intervention for God's faithful people. And we come to Joshua chapter 8. In Joshua chapter 8, We're reading from verse 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up unto Ai. See, I have given into thine hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. Here we have the promise of the Lord that what we lost in chapter 7, we're regaining everything in chapter 8. What we cried about in the previous chapter, we're going to rejoice and celebrate about in this new chapter. And what brought heartache, and what brought headache, and what brought discouragement, despair to us in the previous days, today we're going to have life, and we're going to have it more abundantly. Now that they are dealt with the accursed thing, the Lord now told Joshua, and he communicated with him again, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I've given you the land. And it says, fear not. And the Lord is telling us, this year, fear not. It's going to be a great year. It's going to be a year of fruitfulness and a year of the power of the Lord in our lives. Fear not. There is no fear anymore. And now he says, he's going to intervene for you. He's going to intervene for us as a family. This family, this army of the people of God will never suffer defeat again. I divide the message to three parts. Number one, divine promise and wisdom for victory. Divine promise and wisdom for victory. Number two, detailed procedure of warfare before victory. Detailed procedure of warfare before victory. Number three, desirable perseverance in the word after victory. Desirable perseverance in the word after victory. We come to number one. Divine promise and wisdom for victory. Joshua chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee. Do you notice something here? Those spies that went out, that Joshua told, go and view the land and bring back reports to me. They came back to Joshua and he said, it's a small place. Don't overlabor the people. Just send 2,000 or 3,000 and that will be enough. And then, because they didn't know what problem there was, they didn't know what had happened through Achan. And eventually, we've studied that already. They were defeated. But now, after all that defeat, the reason, the cause for the effect, for the defeat had been taken care of. Then the Lord said, Joshua, this is my plan. And this is the way it's going to be done. Take all the people of war, the men of war, with thee. You see the reason why we say leadership must pray, must trust the Lord, must receive from the Lord, must have revelation from the Lord. And it is that revelation from the Lord that will give us certain indisputable victory. And so the Lord now said, take all the people. And then he says, arise, go up to Ai. you must go yourself. Arise, go up. You see that the advice of those other people that went to view the land is so very much different. And then it says, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and the city and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof ye shall take for a prey unto yourselves. Do you see another thing here? Jericho, in Jericho, the Lord said, when you defeat that Jericho, don't take anything for yourself. Be patient. The one that belongs to you will soon come. Be patient. The spoils of war and the reward the Lord wants you to have will soon come to you. And then it says in that verse 2, lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. Now he's giving them the wisdom for victory. He has given them the promise. That's in verse 1. He's not giving them the wisdom, what they are to do, the plan of war. In verse 3, so Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor. Compare that with the 2,000 or 3,000 the other people suggested. Suggestions will bring defeat. When we do not give a free hand, completely, totally, unto Joshua, unto the leader, unto our general superintendent, when we do not give the final say, the final decision to the general superintendent, it brings a lot of results. But when we leave the final decision in his hand, and he has the final say on how the church should move on, how we should have the wisdom for the victory, how we should accomplish what the Lord has raised this church for to accomplish, when we allow him to have that final decision, final say, what a great victory we will have. You might not understand. Ai is just a small city. We think 2,000 or 3,000 will get through. We think just a few people will be able to defeat Ai. But no, 30,000, and that's not the end. Let's read on. Men of valor, and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I, and all the people that are with me, will approach unto the city. There's another part of the army. It's dividing the army now into these parts. Will approach the sea unto the city. And it shall come to pass when they come out against us, as at the first, that we will flee before them. That is, it's saying that these 30,000 men of war will stay behind the city by night. And the people of Ai will not know that they are there. And then these army now will come through the front gate. And as they come, a mighty army, the people of Ai will think, this one coming before the gate, in front of the gate of the city, this is all. And all the men of war in Ai will come out against them. And they will not begin to fight them immediately. That's the tactics of delay. Delayed action. So they will run away as if they are fleeing away from them. And then these people will be deceived by that tactics, by that method and strategy. They'll run after them so that they can leave the city without security. And then the other army, 30,000, staying behind, knowing that all these men of war in the city of Ai, they have run after the team or the army that followed Joshua. Then they will go into that city. They'll set it on fire. When they set it on fire, the flames will be going up. Then the army running after Joshua will look back and see that the city is in flames. Then they will turn back. When they turn back, they'll be in between 30,000 here and thousands of other soldiers here. And then they corner them up and destroy them. The wisdom for victory. And it was the Almighty God that gave this strategy unto Joshua. He tells us in verse 6, for they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, they flee before us as at the first, therefore will flee before them. Then he shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city. For the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be, when ye shall have taken the city, that he shall set the city on fire, according to the commandment of the Lord, ye shall do. See, I have commanded you. This was the strategy the Lord gave unto Joshua. Who would have thought about this? Who would have thought that a small city like Ai would need a strategy, a method, a procedure like this? That's why we need to wait on the Lord. That's why we need to hear from the Lord. And then when the Lord has spoken, that's why we do not try to examine it. Is it necessary? All the trouble for all the 30,000 by night to stay behind that city, and all the other men of war to come to this side and have all this procedure. Why not everybody just go in? This is God's wisdom being given unto us. One, the promise. Two, the wisdom. And it is when you accept the wisdom and you live by that wisdom, and you carry out the procedure by this wisdom, that the victory will be yours. As we look at the promise, let's remind ourselves. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, reading from verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 31, reading from verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. The Lord is going with you. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, all through this year and the rest of your life. When you face any challenge, remember the everlasting God is with you. The God that never loses a battle, he is with you. And you understand, underneath you are the everlasting arms. You will not fail. You will not be defeated. The promise of God is sure and certain. He does not change. He will not change on your behalf. In verse 8, and the Lord, he it is that does go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee. Neither forsake thee. Fear not. Fear not. Neither be dismayed. Are you afraid? How can you be afraid when the Almighty God is on your side? How can you be afraid when the everlasting arms are underneath you. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 7, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid, nor dismayed, for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than be with him. There are more with you than with your enemies. With him is the arm of flesh. What your enemies who are trying to fight against you, trying to put you down and pull you down, with them is the arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. The people rest, and the people rested themselves upon the words of Ezekiah, king of Judah. Verse 21. And the Lord sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and the captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame, shame of face unto his own land. Your enemies will go away from you. Amen. With shame they will return to their land. Isaiah chapter 41. We're reading from verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they, how many of them? Everyone, all of them. All they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will uphold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. A good amen. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 3. For thou shalt break forth on thy right hand and on thy left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Your sins are forgiven. Your heart is renewed. New energy and courage has been given unto you. And what the enemy was waiting for in a corner, thinking that you're going to be ashamed. No. The time of shame is gone. The time of defeat is gone. That's why the Lord is telling you, telling us as a body, as a church together. And he says, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither shalt thou be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame the second time. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth. In one verse, telling us three times, shame no more. Defeat no more. Amen. And it says, shall forget the shame of thy youth and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. Amen. The Lord has promised us, and what he has promised will come to pass. But you see, we must receive it by faith. In James chapter 1, Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God has the wisdom for us to overcome in every battle. And where we have been defeated in the past, like Joshua and his team and the children of Israel were defeated in Ai. In this same Ai, there is wisdom that will be able to defeat and bring to naught all the forces of the army of Ai. And so the Lord is saying, ask him for that wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. This year, you'll be wiser than last year. Your actions will be actions of wisdom. Your utterances, your preaching, your communication will be utterances and preaching and communication of wisdom. The wisdom of God will live bright in your life in Jesus' name. In the church, you will have wisdom. To the people who are outside, you will manifest wisdom. When there is any challenge, any problem to solve, the wisdom you need to be able to solve that problem, that wisdom will be granted unto you. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men. How many? He'll give it to you. Give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Point number 2. Detailed procedure of warfare before victory. Detailed procedure of warfare before victory. Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8. Reading from verse 9. See this method. You've learned about it already. As the Lord told Joshua. Now they put it in place. Joshua chapter 8, verse 9. And Joshua therefore sent them forth. And they went to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai, on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning. When did Joshua rise up? Have you heard that before? Yes. This is the habit of Joshua. It will be your habit. Yes. Rising up early in the morning. No procrastination this year. Yes. Procrastination is a mother of failure and defeat. Pushing forward what we ought to do now until another day, another time. But if you'll do like Joshua, rising up early, and Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people of Ai, and all the people, even the people of war, all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up. See this Joshua. He carries out God's instruction in every detail. God had said, all the people of war, everyone must get involved in this. And he had chosen this 30,000, according to the leading of the Lord, to be on the west side, hiding behind the city. And now the rest of the people, all the people of war, that were with him, went up and drew nigh, and came before the city, and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai, and it took about 5,000 men, and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai, on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north of the city, and their liars in wait. Liars in wait. Those are not people telling lies. Liars for lying is L-I-A-R-S. This one is A-L-I-E-R-S. Lying in wait. The people that were lying in wait. That's what it says. Liars in wait. On the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. And it came to pass, when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early. And they rose up when? Do you notice that the newspaper vendors rise up earlier than preachers of the gospel? Do you notice that the king of Ai also rose up early? Do you know that those market women rise up early? Do you know that the false prophets, they wear their white robe and have their bell in their hands and they rise early? Do you know that the farmers rise up early? Do you know that virtually all those people outside the church rise up early? And they do their business. And this is why Joshua also, he rose up early. If the enemy side is rising up early, I about the people of God. And when you think about what the unbelievers do, in all the countries I have gone, since I've started traveling, not only last year, any country you get to, you'll find Nigerians there. They're rising up early. And where you think you'll not find a Nigerian, he is there. They are there in China. They are there in Korea. They are there in Taiwan. They are there in Singapore. They are there in UK. They are there in America. They are everywhere. When I was going to Ivory Coast some years ago, you know, all these women from the southwest of Nigeria, and they don't know how to speak. They need not to speak a word of French. And they'll have all these, those things they were going to sell, they put everything at their back and they wrap themselves with this and wrap themselves with that. And then they have these big, big bags of this and that to sell. And everywhere you go, you find these Nigerians there. Missionaries for salesmanship. And they are there. I was in a particular place. It was Canada that I saw, and a Nigerian came to greet me, and I said, "What do you do here?" Oh, and he said, I run a courier service. I said, "I'm interested. Tell me." Not that I need him to run courier service for me. I just wanted to know, how could somebody do this? What do you do? He said, "You know, in our place, they have many of the Nigerians here. And they need to, you know, they want yam, they want groundnuts, they want beans. And they don't know how to do it. And I run the courier service for them. That I will take all their money and then I'll take my commission. And then I will go to the eastern part of Nigeria. And then I will buy all those things and bring to them. And then I connect with their families, the members of their family. And then I'll say, your son is in such and such a place in Canada. Your daughter is in such and such a place. He needs this, he needs this. They will give me all those things to give to their people there. I say, now this is courier service. I need to pay for my aircraft, for the plane. Give me the commission. The commission here, now this is for my flight. Give me the commission to feed my family. They give him commission. That's how he lives. And I say, how many times do you travel between Nigeria and Canada? Then he scratched his head and he said, about this number of times, just running courier service. Nigerians are everywhere. And they rise up early. I don't know how they get this intelligence to be able to do it. They are fast. And then we, who are Christians, and we say there is nothing to do. And if you are to go on missionary trip or missionary walk, we say, why are they sending me? Because the people of the world, they are doing their own missionary work, selling clothes and taking this, even selling yams and beans and rice. If they are rising early and they're using their intelligence to be able to connect in all these various nations with you, we're going to rise up early this year. Let's go on. And then eventually it says in verse 14, and it came to pass when the king of Ai saw it, that he hasted and rose up early. And the men of the city went out against Israel to battle. And he and all his people at a time appointed before the plain. But he wist not, he knew not, that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them, and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them. And they pursued after Joshua, and were drawn away from the city. And there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel. And they left the city open and pursued after Israel. Do you see the strategy? Joshua and his army ran. And they ran away from them. And the people of Ai, they said, come on, run after them. We'll show them. You know, that's how they are bragging. They said they will show you. This year, nobody will be able to show you anything. Because your victory is assured, certain, in Jesus' name. And then it says in verse 18, and the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thine hand toward Ai. Stretch out what? Not a rod. You know, because Moses carried a rod every time. As Moses is gone and Joshua is taking over, what some other religious people will do is to look for that rod of Joshua. I told you before, but not Joshua. Because God has not commanded him to pick up a rod. He is to fight like the captain of an army. And so he had a spear in the hand. And the Lord says, stretch out the spear that is in thine hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thy hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. And the ambush arose quickly out of their place. That's the other part of the army waiting behind Ai. And they ran as soon as he has stretched out his hand. Do you see prompt response to Joshua's command? He stretched up the rod immediately. All those people lying in ambush, they were not thinking in their mind, what's the meaning of that? What's the significance of that? What are we to do concerning that? Immediately, they rose up from the ambush in response to the raising up of the spear of Joshua. And then it tells us that they entered into the city, and they took it, and they hasted, and set the city on fire. Verse 20, when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven. And they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city, and that the smoke of the city ascended. Then they turned again and slew the men of Ai, and the other issued out. They came out of the city against them. So they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side. And they smote them, so that they let none of them remain or escape. And the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass, when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, they all came out, and they were camped in Sanguished in between this part of the army and that part of the army, and they were all defeated, all destroyed in the wilderness wherein they chased them. And when they were all falling on the edge of the sword, until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. And so it was that all that fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the cattle and the spoil of that city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according unto the word of the Lord, which he commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai, and made it an heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. And the king of Ai, he hung on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city, and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. You can see the detailed procedure of warfare before victory. And if we're going to have victory, we must have procedures. Procedures. And it must be a procedure that the Lord himself has given us. And it will not be the procedure of Jericho, of conquering Jericho, that will conquer Ai. It will not be walking around one day in 6 days, and then the seventh day shouting at the end of going round 7 times in air. The wisdom of God gave a different strategy. And so you understand then, when the Lord tells us, wait upon the Lord, receive revelation from the Lord, and then he will see us through. But let's notice, you cannot just borrow that procedure every time. If the Lord has not given you a procedure, borrowing, you're not praying, you're not seeking the face of the Lord, you're not saying, oh Lord, show me the way. You think you've got a blueprint, and you think you have got the method and the strategy. This is how it was done. That's the strategy God gave to a man that was praying. The strategy God gave to a man that was waiting upon him. And it worked in Ai. If you just borrow that and transport that to another place, how do you think it will work every time? 2 Chronicles chapter 13. In 2 Chronicles chapter 13, we're reading from verse 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 12. But Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come about behind them, so that they were before Judah, and the ambush was behind them. When Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind. Jeroboam was fighting a battle against the people of Judah. He was not a prayerful king. He was not a person seeking God for fresh revelation, vision as to how to overcome in the battle. But he had read about Joshua. And now he wanted to take what Joshua did. And he said, I know how to do it. And he planned every procedure according to what Joshua had done in years gone by. And so he set the army here and there. And when Judah looked, he saw that the battle was before and behind. And they cried unto the Lord. And the priest sounded with the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout. And as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. You see that he tried to use the method, this Jeroboam. But you see the people of Judah, they said, we're in trouble. Jeroboam has gone to borrow the strategy of Joshua. And we find them in front of us. We find them behind us. And we're sandwiched is between them. But we know what to do. They prayed unto the Lord. They shouted unto the Lord. Oh Lord, help us defeat Jeroboam with a strategy. Even though it's a good strategy. But he didn't pray. He didn't have it from you. Defeat him. And then we're told that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. And it says in verse 16, and the children of Israel fled before Judah with all their strategy. And God delivered them into their hand. And Abijah and his people slew them with a great slaughter. So that there fell slain of Israel 500,000 chosen men. 500, not 5, not 5,000, not 50,000, 500,000. Even though they used the same strategy with Joshua. But the strategy was not given to them. Borrowing strategies from other ministries. Borrowing strategies from Joshua. Borrowing strategies from other people. This is how they did it. And without prayer. And without listening to leadership. We will do it and we will succeed. It doesn't work. 500,000 men were lost using a good strategy but not hearing from God. And it says in verse 18, thus the children of Israel were brought under at that time. And the children of Judah prevailed because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. They prevailed, they overcame. Not because of strategy, but because they relied on the Lord God of their fathers. We will overcome. Amen. They were told in verse 19, and Abijah pursued after Jeroboam. And he took the cities from him, Bethel, with the towns thereof, and Jeshana was the towns thereof, and Ephraim were the towns thereof. Neither did Jeroboam recover strength again. Yes, a borrowed strategy. But he wasn't relying on the Lord. He was so defeated and he never recovered strength anymore. You see, when you try to borrow strategy, I would say, this is how they defeated that person. This is how they overcame in that area. And then you just borrow that. You've seen something. And that's how you think you're going to overcome. Go and pray. And seek the face of the Lord. If the Lord gives you your own strategy, the plan of action, how to overcome, then we overcome. That's different from Joshua telling you. That's different from the GS telling you, this is what to do and you do it. We're talking about challenges that come in your life. And we have not told you, and it's not something on ministerial matters. It's not something on how to do this and how to do that. This is just something that you are confronted with. And you are wondering, how do I do this and overcome? As you pray, and the Lord gives you his mind and his wisdom, that's how you get the victory. Neither did Jeroboam recover strength again in the days of Abijah, and the Lord struck him, and he died. His strategy failed, his heart failed, and he died. Number one, divine promise and wisdom for victory. Number two, detailed procedure of warfare before victory. Number three, desirable perseverance in the word after victory. Let's come back to Joshua chapter 8. In Joshua chapter 8, now they have got the victory. What were they going to do after the victory? Joshua chapter 8, reading from verse 30. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man has lifted up any iron. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. He was going to give a high priority to the word of God. After they had got the victory, the priority of the word, the preeminence of the word, the centrality of the word after the victory. And then he wrote the law of Moses upon the stone, exactly what Moses had given. Now he was to give them that in Israel after the victory. The victory did not make him to forget the importance of the word. Look at that verse again. In verse 32. And he wrote thereupon the stone a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel, and all Israel, and their elders, and officers, and their judges stood on this side of the ark. On this side, the ark. And on that side, before the priests, the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well the stranger as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. Afterward, he read all the words of the law. Afterward, he read all the words of the law. After they got the victory, after they overcame, and they celebrated the victory that God had given them, where they had defeat before, now he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, we Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel. There was not a word he missed out. And he was actually following what the Lord has told him in chapter 1. And then it says, well, the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. They gathered all the men together, all the leaders together, all the priests together, all the officers together, and all the people, all the men of war together, and the women and the children. And they read the word of God. And there was not a word, a single word, that they didn't read in the presence, in the audience, in the hearing of all the people. Giving priority to the word, preeminence to the word, a centrality of place to the word, desirable perseverance in the word after victory. Isn't that what the Lord had said? Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, reading from verse 7 and verse 8, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And that's exactly what he did here after the victory. We're told in Job chapter 23, verse 12. Job chapter 23, verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. In days of victory, in days of celebration, in days when victory replaces defeat, in days of joyful conquering, that we conquer the enemy, and we're rejoicing and praising the Lord for this newfound victory, and we're rejoicing because the Lord has done great things for his people, for his church, for the Christian family, and for the estate. Don't let us forget that the word of God is still the priority, is still the preeminent thing. And Job said, I have not declined, I've not gone back from the commandment of his lips. And he said, I have esteemed his word, the word of his mouth, more important, more necessary, more essential than my food, my necessary meat. We're looking at Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, reading from verse 9. Psalm 119. Verse 9. Wherewith thou shall a young man cleanse his way, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You know, when you keep the word of God in your heart, you'll not be intoxicated with success. You will not lose your brain, your mind. You'll not lose your soul after success. Celebration of victory will not carry you away to the point you do some foolish things after you've done some wise things. After the Congress, and you see the victory the Lord has given us at the Congress, you go back to the Word. After you minister and the Lord has given you a great breakthrough, and you have preached the word of God, and the people said, thank God for this minister. Where is this minister coming from? We never had this one before. We have such great talents in this church. And you preach so effectively that before you finish, the people are rising up and they are praying already. Don't be carried away with success and victory. You will go back to the Lord immediately and bury your mind, your heart, your head in the word of God again. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. After the Lord has given you a great victory in this section of the Congress, who are in charge of this area, and people who are coming to you saying, congrats, brother, congrats, sister. We've been coming to Congress before, but this one, in this section, we've always had a headache, always had a hitch in this section. But, you know, this time you just manned everything so well, and this is wonderful. Don't be carried away. After that victory, then you go back to the word of the Lord when you have had a crusade. And then in that crusade, many people have been healed, many people have been delivered, and many people saved. Don't be carried away by that success. Then you go back to the word again when you have ministered one way or the other, and there's a great, great victory that has been given to you. Don't be carried away. You will go back to the word. That's what Joshua did, that he went back to the word again, and he read all the words of the law of Moses. That's all that was available at that time. And he read it to the men, to the women, to the children, to the strangers in the land. Priority to the word. After a great success, desirable perseverance in the word. After victory. Verse 11 again, Psalm 119. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. In verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. After the victory, this is what will make you to see the pitfalls and the pit holes. And in the word of God that you read, that you study, after the Congress, after the victory, will be the light in your pathway, so that you will not fall. How many people fall after great victory, after great success? Because after they have manifested great wisdom, and God had given them the victory, they do not go back to the word. But Joshua was wise. He went back to the word after that victory. In verse 130, Psalm 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Reading from verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. After you've got the victory, you've just done something, you go back to the Lord, you open the pages of scripture again. What did I do right? You examine it. With the word of God, you look at the program you just finished, and you look at your ministration you just finished, and you look at the victory that you have got. You say, thank you, Lord. What did I do right to help me to know what I can do next? And what did I do right? And then you allow the word of God to answer that question. But what did I do not as well? What if I had another chance? If I had another privilege, what will I do in a different way, in a better way? That's where the word of God comes in. That next time, when you're going to have such a program like this, thank God for the success you have got. When you have another opportunity next time, what will you do differently? How will you correct this, this, and that? That's why you go back to the word. And the word of God, all scripture given by inspiration, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17. Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. After you've got the victory, after you've finished the congress, after you've accomplished much at the crusade, after the Lord has given you a breakthrough, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And it's as we do that, this word of God, not departing from your mouth, success will be yours. Psalm 1, reading from Psalm 1, verse 1 to verse 3. Blessed is the man. Thank God you are blessed. As we're going back home, understand, every curse is broken. Every yoke is broken. From this day onwards, you turn to the right, you are blessed. You turn to the left, and you are blessed. In front of you, there is a blessing. Keep on moving. You reach that blessing in Jesus' name. Behind you, don't worry about what goes on behind. These blessings shall follow after you. Will run after you and pursue you. Enemies will not pursue you this year. Only blessing will pursue you in Jesus' name. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, that standeth not in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's you. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. It shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. You will bear fruit this year. And its leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever you do shall prosper. Whatsoever you do shall prosper. Because from now on, the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. He maketh you to lie down in green pastures. He'll be leading you beside the still waters. He has restored your soul already. He's leading you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. For the Almighty God Emmanuel is with you. His rod and his staff, they comfort you. Always, all throughout this year, I'll prepare a table before you. In the presence of your enemies, he will anoint your head with oil. Your cup will run over. Your cup will run over. When we finish, go and find that song and learn it. If you don't know it, running over. Running over. My cup is filled and running over. Go and learn that song. You wake up tomorrow morning before you come to Sunday service here. Read that song and sing that song. Running over, running over. My cup is filled and running over. And as you're going on Monday to your place of work, after all these holidays that the people got, and then you're going back in your market, in your shop, everywhere you go, running over, running over. Your cup is filled and running over. And then when you are going to minister, go and sing that song again. That's the song for this year. That's your song. Running over, my cup is filled and running over. Since the Lord saved me, I'm as happy as can be. My cup is filled and running over. And then should it happen that the Lord comes before we come again, I will see you in glory. Because surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And you will abide and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Rise up and seal the covenant. Seal the covenant. Seal the covenant. Running over. Running over. Your cup is filled and running over. Since the Lord has saved you, you'll be happy as can be. Your cup will be filled and running over. The sorrow is gone. The heartache is gone. Every curse is broken. Every yoke is broken from your life and family. The Lord is going to reward the work of your hand. The Lord will bless the work of your hand. Your ministry will prosper. Your life will be fruitful. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. You have overcome already. You are more than a conqueror. More, much more, more, much more, much more than a conqueror. Much more. Much more. Much more than a conqueror. Fear not. You will not be ashamed. Fear not, the Lord is on your side. Your enemies will be ashamed. Your opponents will be ashamed. And those who think they're going to make you unhappy, they'll be ashamed. March on. March on. Take every discouragement from your heart. Take every thought of failure from your mind. Move on. You are not a coward, you are a conqueror. Move on. Don't think about the past. Move on. Your future is bright. Move on. Forget the first defeat at AI. Forget the first defeat at AI. That's forgiven. That's cleansed. That's buried. That's forgotten. It will never be again. Now there is victory. Now there is victory for you. Underneath you are the everlasting arms. You will be wise. You are not foolish anymore. You are not dull. You are bright. The wisdom of the Eternal One is made available to you. That wisdom will never fail. When there is a problem, God will reveal the solution to you. The promise is yours. The promise is yours. Stand on it. Those promises will never fail. Hold on to it. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Wisdom from on high, power from on high, love from on high, protection from on high, dynamite from on high. It's available to you, available for you. Claim it, and it's yours. Hold on to the word. Live by the word. Follow the procedure. Follow the procedure. Follow the procedure. Follow the procedure. And the wisdom of the Eternal One will be available for you. And give the word of God the first place. In your heart and in your life, give the word the first place. In your heart, in your life, and in your family, the preeminence of the word, the centrality of the word. Read it. Study the word. Believe the word. Live by the word. Practice it. The word. Let the word direct and control every area, every part of your life, in small things and in big things. The word. Yes, the word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it fill your mind. Let it fill your brain. Let it fill your heart. And let it be in your mouth every time. Let the word fill your mouth. The word. By this will you live, the word. By this will you be guided, the word. By this will you order your steps, the word. By this will you live and moderate every area of your life, the word. Meditating on the word, living and moving by the word, ministering by the word. A commitment to live by the word. A commitment to stand by the word. The word of God. You will not turn to the right or turn to the left. You will not look back or look away from the world. Everything you have learned, everything you have heard, this word, the word of God, this word, the word of God. By this will you be guided. By this will you be controlled. By this will you live. By this will you guide your family. The word. The word of God. The word of God. Make a commitment. A consecration. That's how to maintain the victory. The victory we have got already. That's how to maintain it. Living by the word. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, because of this glorious moment. And from now on, our course will be filled and it will run over in Jesus' name. We're asking, O Lord, every defeat of the past, you turn it into victory. Every failure of the past, you turn it into success. And this year, you protect every one of us in Jesus' name. Preserve us for this victory in Jesus' name. Lord, we confirm everyone here, brother and sister, young and old, in the victory of the Lord. And then we receive your wisdom in Jesus' name. Your revelation in Jesus' name. Your power in Jesus' name. Lord, I declare this year is a year of fruitfulness. It's a year of power. It's a year of breakthrough. It's a year of conquering. We shall conquer in Jesus' name. Go with your people as they go. Go before them. Be around them. Surround them. Underneath them will be the everlasting arms in Jesus' name. Over them will be the canopy of protection. Build a wall of fire around everyone. And clear the way before your people in Jesus' name. I sprinkle your people with the blood of Jesus. Their vehicles with the blood of Jesus. And the families they are going to meet back at home, I cover them with the blood of Jesus. We cancel bad news. We receive good news. This year, from victory unto victory. From conquering unto conquering. From vision unto vision. Lord, we thank you because a great thing has begun already. Thank you, Lord. Confirm it in every life. In Jesus' name we pray.